Well, I have to apologize because I'm going to step on Peggy's special number, but if I'm going to say anything at all from up here today without running way over, I better get going. First off, again, I just want to start off this morning by encouraging you, if you have not yet received one of these, haven't taken one of these with you, take one. We have them on the tables in the foyer area, right immediately outside of the sanctuary. Seek God for the City 2009. I really, 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 really liked yesterday's family prayer walk activity. What was that, anybody? What was that, George? Pray for the pastor. See, you all should have known that because you all should have been doing this yesterday. Should have been praying for your pastor. He needs prayer. Trust me on this. Pray every Saturday for me. That's awesome because I need it. That way, maybe some of the Sunday morning messages might even make an occasional sense. I just want to encourage everybody to go ahead and use this. It's a good devotional these days during Lent. Lent, again, is not something that we normally, as a denomination, you know, Christian Mission Alliance, it's not like a big part of our calendar or what we do. It's something that we don't formally see. We're not the high church type, but if you were more Episcopal or Lutheran or Presbyterian or Catholic, Lent is a big part of the calendar. And some of us have, because we've had issues with some of the things that have gone on in those areas, we've turned away from it. The purpose of Lent is to be focusing on Christ and on the Lord prior to the time of Holy Week, that we might come into Holy Week more focused and more directed in our outlook and ready to really be blessed through Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter morning. I mean, these things are very, very central to who we are as Christians. And Lent is no more and no less than a period of time that we spend seeking to prepare ourselves to be available to see what it is God has for us this Easter season. This book basically allows us to go through it as a group, to be praying and focusing in the same directions each day. It has some good scripture passages. It has some good prayers. It has some good ideas for things to do, like pray for your pastor, some prayer walks. You know, today it says to go as a family and pray your neighborhood as a family. Pray for the families around you. So it's interactive. It's not just, I read it for 5 minutes, I'm done. But it actually gives me something to do with my faith that's a little more tangible. Maybe for some people need to do something more active, more kinetic, kinesthetic, I should say. This is it. This is something that will help to do that. And again, the books cost a church $3 a piece. If you got $3, throw it in the box. We don't have a plate. Except for the third Sunday of the month. Remember, and that's a special offering. But and if you don't have it, don't worry about it. They're already paid for. Now, Treasurer Kevin's over there going, No. Take a book if you don't have one. Don't not take one. And you don't need to just have one per couple. Really would like people to have their own. That way, if you happen to be in different locations for the day, you can still have yours with you. Ed took his up to the retreat. Peggy, you got one? You take one with you when you leave today. Okay. 2 Corinthians. This is where we're at. turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start with the 12th verse. Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. We have done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. For we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand, and I hope that as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully, that you can boast of us, just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. Because I was confident of this, I planned to visit you first so that you might benefit twice. I planned to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia, and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. When I planned this, I did not do it lightly. Or do I make my plans in a worldly manner so that the same breath I say yes, yes, and say no, no? But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes us both, makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. I call God as my witness that it was in order to spare you that I did not return to Corinth. Not that we lorded over your faith, but that we work with you for your joy. Because it is by faith you stand firm. So, I made up my mind that I would not make another painful visit to you. But if I grieve you, who is left to make you glad? Make me glad? But you, whom I have grieved. I wrote as I did, so that when I came, I should not be discouraged by those who ought to make me rejoice. I had confidence in all of you, that you would all share my joy. For I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart, and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray that you would give us greater insight and understanding of it. Lord, we come before you. And we say, Lord, speak to us. Might we read your word and understand it. Lord, might you show us how to apply it to our lives today. Lord, draw us close to you. Encourage and bless us. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I preach. Lord, that I would speak your word in truth and in power through the anointing and the infilling and overflow of the Holy Spirit. That, Lord, you literally would speak through me and to each individual person here. May each one know that they have heard from you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Basically what happened here is Paul had made some plans. He's going to have told people, hey, I'm coming to visit. And the plan was, I'm heading over to Macedonia. You're kind of on the way. I'm going to swing into Corinth, say hi to all you folks. Then I'm going to go to Macedonia, take care of business there. Then I'm going to come back, visit you again, and then on to Judea. That was my plan. Didn't work that way. Anybody have plans? They make plans and then have them, you know, just, it's like not happening. Yeah, God laughs when we make plans. Just, you know, Yeah, right. You see where they're... Okay. That's... We do. We make plans. We say, okay. And we do it with the best of intentions. And Paul's saying, you know, I had the best of intentions. But I didn't mean to say, when I told you yes, to be say no. In matter of fact, it wasn't for that. Basically, God changed my plans. God showed me that my coming was going to cause us both pain at this time. And I didn't want to do that. I wasn't going to stick to the plan just because that's the plan. But I was going to follow what God showed me to be a better way. This is what Paul's telling here. The issue is, you know, he wrote that letter because things were just a wee bit discombobulated there in Corinth, that letter, 1 Corinthians. Paul kind of, as I mentioned several times, takes the church to the woodshed. If you don't know, that means they got whooped. In any way but actual physically. I mean, spiritually, emotionally. He let them have it with both barrels. Okay? But he didn't do it out of a desire to hurt them. He did it out of a desire to help them because he loves them. And he wanted to bring correction to them that they would walk straight, that things would go well. Now the issue here is he did bring them correction. But then it turned out he was going to be showing up kind of like right on the heels of the letter. Anybody ever here receive correction? Do you really want to see the person who corrected you immediately after they corrected you? Not so much. Even if they love you a lot, it's like, now's not a good time. And that's kind of the way things worked out for Paul. It's like, he sent the letter, and then, I'm going to be getting there just right after they get the letter, and they're still going to be in the all upset stage yet. They're not going to have had time to digest it and to work through it and come to peace with the whole thing. Maybe it's not a good idea to go there right now. Not that I'm afraid of them. But I don't want to cause them more pain. I don't want to, get in a fight with somebody just because they're a little touchy right now. I don't know about you, but I did get spanked as a young child upon occasion. And I will confess the fact that I deserved it and needed it. I don't recall ever being spanked arbitrarily or because I didn't deserve it. Honestly, I wasn't always a well-behaved child like I am today. And Donna would say, "Watch out for lightning bolts." that's just. But when my dad spanked me, I wasn't the brightest child. I mean, I've got smarts, but I'm also very stupid in some ways. I think it's called stubborn. You see, I would say, I'm not going to cry. Now, my dad was going to spank me until I cried. My goal is not to cry. His goal is to spank me until I do cry, showing that he has spanked me enough. My sister's, of course, was like, "Ah!" Me, I'm like... So, if he needs to spank me until I cry, and I'm trying not to cry, I'm being stubborn, my area of being spanked got sore. Was tender for a little bit. And I took special care not to cause it more contact for a little while. You hurt something, you gotta you're in pain somewhere, and somebody hits that spot that hurts again too soon, even gently, just touches it carefully, you go, "Ha! Ah, what are you doing? That hurt." Ever done that? I have. I've had it done to me, and I've done it to other people. "Oh, I'm sorry that you hurt your shoulders." I'm putting my arm around their shoulder and give them a hug. "Ah, get away from me." You know, this is spiritually and emotionally the situation. The people aren't tender yet because Paul's kind of laid everything out and kind of taken them to task. It's right after, you know, you need to absorb that. You need to let it percolate through the whole thought processes and sleep on it a few times to finally say, you know, because I'll guarantee you, very few were the times after immediately following my spanking where I said, you know, I deserve that. I'm glad my father spanked me. That happened a little while later. The time that it occurred and immediately thereafter, I was not so in favor of it. Okay, you might say that I'm not real happy with you right now, Dad. Yeah, so yeah, I know I'm the one that did it wrong, but you know, now's not the time for us to want to go fishing. Okay, I don't want to spend any buddy time with you right now. I'm just going to go over here in my room and I'll be out tomorrow. And, you know, after a little bit, you know, was able to get my head straight and figure it out. Like, okay, you know, hello, stupid. He was right. I was wrong. I'm not going to say it, but, you know, that's the way it was. And later we did go fishing. We did do things like that. And you know what? Everything was okay. But we had to have a little space, time. You really want to cause somebody to be nuts? You know, how do you drive a puppy nuts? Is you beat the puppy and then you turn around and you hug and pet the puppy. And then you beat the puppy again and hug and pet the puppy just immediately. The dog will go crazy. People will do the same thing. Now, that's just arbitrarily beating and praising with no cause, but the fact of the matter is that once we've been disciplined, we need to have a little space. Paul recognized this. He made these plans. He was going to go there and bless them. And then he realized that going there wasn't going to be such a blessing. You know, hey, you need to change the plans. It's not that I'm arbitrary. It's not that I don't stick by my word. It's just like, new information has come to light that has made me understand that maybe this isn't such a good idea to do this time. Where's that light? It's God. He kind of showed me. He said, you know, Paul, what are you thinking? So God kind of showed Paul, you know, don't go there right now. Go there later. When they're ready. So he writes him another letter and tells him, you know, I was coming, but don't get mad. And I'm not being arbitrary and saying, you know, when I say yes, I really mean no. That's not the situation here. It's just sometimes things change. And my plans are always subservient to God's plan. When God says, no, don't do it, you know what I have to say? Plans are changed. This is what we're going to do now. I mean, Paul is telling them that, hey, you guys, just as I plan on boasting on you, you guys get to boast on me when we get to heaven, when we see the Lord in person. My boast is, you know, church in Corinth, man, I was part and parcel of leading them to Christ, building that church. These are my treasures in heaven. And the church in Corinth is going to be able to turn around and say, look to Paul and say, you know what? Yeah, he led us to Christ, but we supported him in ministry. We prayed for him. as he went out and he led others to Christ all over. And we were part of him bringing more people to Christ here in Corinth. And we're part of his ministry that he's doing. And he's part of what's going on here. See, that's part of being the body of Christ. It's not that I get to just point to God, you know, hey, this is my congregation here at Northbrook. You know, these are my sheepies, and you know, Lord, you got to give me credit for them. Okay, that's. But you guys also can turn and say, you know, hey, that's our pastor. We get credit for him. You say, what? Pat, this sounds kind of strange. No, we get to boast on each other in heaven. That's not unspiritual. It's not wrong. This is what God says we're going to get to do. See, as we're part of each other's ministries and each other's lives, we're intertwined as the body of Christ. It says, but the point of us, or part of the purpose of the body, is to bless each other. And you know what? If I show up when it's not a good time, that's not a blessing. So I need to be aware of that and take that into account. So this is what Paul does. But surely as God is faithful in our message, to you it is not yes and no, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me, Silas, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but at him it has always been yes. See, in God's timing, in God's way, things will always work out with the yes. God promises it will be. I promise, not so much. But we need to follow God's plan, not man's plan. And when God sometimes tells us, you know, you need to change the plan, then we change the plan. And Paul did that, one out of obedience to God, and two out of love for the people in Corinth. And three out of selfish needs. Hey, it's okay to take care of yourself. He says, no, I don't want to go there and get yelled at by you guys. That's not going to be pleasant for you. It's not going to be pleasant for me. So I'm not going to do it. Didn't do it. He didn't feel a need. They weren't ready to have him there in person yet, so he didn't go. Well, I'm going to wind up here right now because we're late. And let's focus. Take from this part that we've looked at so far today that man's plans are changeable. But God's plans are not. And that when we follow God's will, sometimes we're going to find that our plans have to change. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you and come before you as children of the living God, sealed with the Holy Spirit. Lord, you give us that Holy Spirit so that we might follow your will and your way. And Lord, sometimes we do it better than others. Lord, help us to make our yes be yes and our no be no. But might we also be able to say, I was wrong. And I need to change my plan because God has changed the plan. Or at least shown me where I need to change the plan. So Lord, We are thankful that your yes is always yes. That your promises are forever and unchangeable. Lord, help us always to trust in you. As our Lord and Savior, as our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we close. We're going to sing, "Thank You, Lord."